Almighty God, listen to our hearts. Father, thank you for making us ever new, for the fact that your mercies are new every morning. We pause in this moment to express to you such deep gratitude. Father, as your generosity through the work of grace has filled our lives to overflowing, such that we can say with David that our cup overflows, may we spill over the generosity into everyone's lives around us as you have given to us. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Today's lesson I've entitled Stunning Grace. Stunning Grace. Stunning Grace. It's Christmas time. Are y'all excited? Some of you are like, oh boy, I've got so much to do in so little time. Others of you are just so excited. It's a great time of the year. It's a great time. No doubt about it. I heard something interesting that's going on in Mexico with this time of year. The sheep there in Mexico have come up with a new greeting for each other. Feliz Navidad. I know, Murray. I know. It's bad. It's bad, brother. Mary Poppins is back in the news. Yeah, I don't know if there's a movie, Mr. Banks, that's coming out. Someone asked Mary the other day, what would you like for Christmas? And she said, I would just love to have a new pair of supercalifragilisticexpialidocious snowshoes. You're with me, aren't you, Jonathan? You're there. It's a great time. It is a great time. If you work, for those of you who work, Christmas is a time where you can just chill and relax, have a little time off. Some of you are saying, well, hey, I'm going to be working through the holidays, and most likely, unless you own your own business, if you work for somebody, you'll make time and a half or double time, or I guess if you work for yourself, you might can charge double and just let them eat it. It's the Christmas spirit. But it's a great time here. It's especially a great time for children in which they give and they receive so many wonderful gifts. And we're mindful of the fact of the greatest gift of all, and that is Jesus Christ. You know, if you and I, in a moment of translucent honesty with each other, we would have to admit that all of life is a gift. Would we not? I mean, the Bible says, in case you didn't figure it out already, naked I came from my mother's womb. Folks, you didn't even make yourself. You are a created being. Naked I came from my mother's womb. Naked I will depart. God gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You see, all of life is a gift. Some of you may live with the idea, since you have so much gifts, so many gifts in your life, that I've earned it, I've worked hard. Well, that's great. But realize it is God that gives you the ability. It is God that gives you the skill. It's God that imparts the wisdom. You've just made good on some of the gifts that God has given you. But realize, church family, please, oh please, realize that all of life is a gift. And the greatest gifts that I just received a gift, the clicker. Very good. There we go. All of life is a gift. Look at Romans chapter 8, verses 31 and 32 with me this morning. It says, what shall we say then in response to all this? Paul has talked about all of the blessings that we have received, one upon the other from Almighty God. If God is for us, who can be against us? Now, folks, there's not a bully on the face of this earth that can match the fact that you and God make a majority, amen? There is no situation, there is no circumstance in which God and you make a majority, and together you can overcome. If God is for us, who can be against us? And then Paul says this, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, talking of Jesus, so God and Jesus give, check this out, graciously give us a few things in life to make us marginally happy. But most of the time we can enjoy life from the sidelines, which you can just be observing from the bench. No, he graciously gives us all things. God unloaded his gifts on us. Now, Fred, what's your favorite story? Is it James? James, please don't call on me, please, in front of these people. What's your favorite story? Anything come to mind? It's like, if any place, if you had $100,000 and could spend it at a particular store, all of it, what store would it be? Anything come to mind? What is it? Chevrolet. I'm thinking 16, he's got a truck on his mind. What if, James, you went down to the Chevrolet dealer here in El Campo, and you pulled up, and the general manager comes out, and he says, James, have I got a deal for you? You see everything on this lot right here? I'm going to give you whichever one you want. What would you do? You'd be pretty fired up. Truck, car, which one would it be? What are you looking for? In case somebody in the church wants to be generous. he's got a car in mind. So he lets you, James, go pick the car. Any car you want, it's yours to drive off. It's completely free. You go and you pick it up. And then just as you're getting ready to go, you know what he says? The general manager here, James, I'm loving this. He says, James, not only do you get this car, actually, I want you to have everything here on the lot. It'd be a good day. Friends, we'll call that the understatement of the century. Okay. It'd be a good day, wouldn't it? You think you might call somebody? You think you might tell somebody? You think you might be screaming, generosity has come my way? I mean, wow. Now, I want you to think about this, that God graciously gives us all things. He graciously gives us all things. It's like God brings us to his lot in life, and he says, I'm going to give it all to you. How exciting that would be, and how exciting it is in our lives to realize what God has done for us. Now, Jesus taught us about giving. He says, if someone wants to see your pants off, give him your shirt and your socks as well. If they want your tunic, give them, you know, they want your cloak, give them your underwear as well. Just you know, maybe Haynes her way and Haynes his way is all that's left over. Jesus says, just give them an extra. Give them an extra. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, Jesus teaches us to go with him too. John the Baptist says the man with two tunics should share with him who has none, and the one who has food should do the same. But we still have some, don't we? But God, what does he do to us according to this text? He graciously gives us all things. He had one more thing left to give, church family. He had one more thing left, and that was his son. Right? Would you guys like to go on a trip without a spare? Can you imagine? I cannot imagine going anywhere on a trip with my family, and especially the woman of my dreams that I am married to, unless we had spare clothes. Not only do we have spare clothes, we have spare clothes. And we got spare clothes. I mean, so much so that we can barely fit our children into the area and room in our vehicle surrounded by luggage. Okay, we've got spares. God is just the opposite. He is just the opposite of this mindset that we hoard. Maybe I'm not calling you a hoard. Oh, good, she's not here. That's so good. I'll share with this story later. I'll share this sermon with her later, but without this story, y'all don't tell on me, okay? All right. So God, he takes the one thing that he has left, and he gives that too. Amen, church family? He gives that too. He gives his son Jesus to us. All gifts that we receive, pass on. I want you to think about the material gifts. I want you to think about all the relationship gifts, all the people gifts that we have. All gifts in this life pass on until God re-gives us his new and eternal blessed gifts. The best is yet to come, church family. The best is yet to come. I've been thinking a lot about God and his generosity, and I came across this article about what medical science has recently discovered about giving. The article explained why giving feels so good. Y'all know, just from life experience, giving feels good. And so you're somewhat prone, when you've experienced that joy, to desire to experience the joy of giving again. And what they said is, when we give, it wakes up what they call the medial forebrain pleasure circuit. It wakes up the pleasure circuit. It fires up these neurotransmitters that are in our brain, that's known as dopamine. And we get this incredible release when we give. And it's like gas. I call it happy gas. When we give, happy gas is released from the tank into the motor of our brain. And it moves us to more and more generosity. Giving feels good. Giving feels great. And when we give, we experience this surge of happy gas again and again in our lives. Let me ask you this question. Do you think it's an accident that generosity feels good to the giver and to the receiver? You think that's an accident? Is it possible that God has created us this way? Where giving is attractive to us, where giving innately feels good to us, and it creates stronger bonds between the giver and the receiver when it's done with genuineness and not with a manipulative intent behind. We're not talking about sales, folks, where you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. We're talking about unconditional gift giving in which you take joy in just giving without expecting anything in return. Folks, it is addictive. It is addictive. This is your healthy addiction, generosity. The Bible says, church family, that we are made in the image of God. It's no mistake. It's no accident that when we are generous towards others, that we participate in God's divine nature and God's divine character. We live out the image of God that He has put upon our lives. God, what did God do? God created Adam and He gave him life. Then God created Eve and gave Eve to Adam and she enjoyed life. And then to them He gave rulership and dominion. And then there was this story of this guy by the name of Abram, and God made Abram into Abraham, the father of many, and He gave him a great name, and He gave him great possessions, and through him and his descendants, all peoples of the earth would be blessed. And God gave Christ to the world to forgive us of our sin and to redeem what has been lost. For God so loved the world, for God so loved the world, that He gave Jesus. And that's why Paul would say in 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Let me introduce you, friends, for just a moment to the circle of generosity. The circle of generosity. The scriptures in 2 Corinthians 9, verses 10 and 11, give us a hint into what this concept is, the circle of generosity. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You'll be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving, to God. What you see is when we participate in generosity, it has a circular experience. It's a lot like the wedding ring that's on my finger. Almost every wedding that I do, I love to take a moment and talk about the significance of the wedding ring and its symbolism. And the wedding ring is in the shape of a circle. Very good. You were awake that day in first grade. Very good, Jen. It's in the shape of a circle, right? And a circle is a line that never ends. It's a reciprocating line. It has no beginning and it has no end. And that's what love does. And that's what God does. I think God is the giver of the circle. So God gives to us so that we can give to others, so that thanksgiving can be given back to God. And that's the circle of generosity. Paul's talking about these brethren in Corinth, and they've set aside money, and they're going to send this money back to the folks back in Jerusalem. They're Jewish brothers and sisters in Christ who've been going through a time of famine, And so God has given them, the Corinthians, this gift, and they've passed it on to their brothers and sisters in Jerusalem. And those brothers and sisters in Jerusalem are going to be told about the Corinthians' generosity, and they're going to give thanks to God for the Corinthians for their generosity. And here we have the circle of generosity. When we give, we live out our purpose as being made in the image of God. Giving and receiving creates a bond. We bond to God in worship, and we give Him praise, honor, and glory for what He's done for us. And we bond to each other when we actively love our neighbor as we serve them and love them in the way that God has called us to through generosity. In Acts chapter 9, there's this story about when grace happens, generosity happens. And in Acts chapter 9, there's a story of Tabitha. Tabitha was her Aramaic name, and it stood for gazelle. Her Greek name was Dorcas, which also stands for gazelle, which I think Luke is suggesting to us the kind of energy that this young, I think she's a young woman, that she has. And the scripture just basically says she got sick and she died. She had always been doing good and taking care of the widows, and she would sew them these garments, these cloaks. She was always actively involved in clothing them. And when she died, friends, everybody was deeply hurt and upset. She would have lived in the town of Joppa, and they heard that Peter, the apostle, was over in Lydda, which was a place close by. And so a couple of men were sent from Joppa over to Lydda to get Peter. And Peter comes over there, and he comes to this upper room where Dorcas, where Tabitha is laying after she has been cleaned, and she's been laid in an upstairs room on a bed. And Peter comes in there, and she is surrounded by widows who are in deepest of grief. And they're showing Peter the generosity that had been reciprocated in glorious ways to them. God had touched Tabitha's life. She had received the grace of God. She then gave the gift of grace of God through generosity. That generosity had been passed on to those widows. Those widows are grieved, and they want this situation fixed. And they see Peter as the one that has the power to fix this. And Peter sends everyone out of the room. Now, I don't know why he did that. I don't know if he couldn't take it anymore. All you ladies, get out of here for just a minute. I can't take it. You're wearing me out. Okay, I get it. She's loved. I don't know if it was like that or not. Probably not. But he sends them out, and then she is raised from the dead by the power of Peter. You see, Tabitha had received grace from God, and she had passed on this grace to those widows. And these widows were giving thanks to God for what had been done. And word spread throughout the whole community of Joppa what had occurred that day. Things had been returned back to God. When we receive grace, church family, when we truly understand what God has done for us, we become a very generous people. We have this explosion of happy gas that takes off in our chemical supply of our brain. I wrote in my notes that we buzz on Jesus. Some of y'all may be struggling with drugs and alcohol right now because you need a buzz. Let me tell you about a buzz that won't have any negative side effects. And that is the buzz of generosity. The buzz of generosity. The side effects are this: faith, hope, and love. Those who understand the gift of grace give grace to others. I read an article. It was in the Houston Chronicle. It was December the 21st, 2010. 3 years ago when this occurred, there was a young woman by the name of Chrysalis Autry. Chrysalis was 26 years old, and she was a student at the University of Texas Health Science Center in San Antonio. She was just months away from graduating from dental school, and she was also just months away from her wedding. So a lot of great things are coming together for her in her life. And it was Thanksgiving. And Chrysalis was going to use this time off from school to go with her mother and her mother, future mother-in-law, and several other relatives that had come up from Houston to San Antonio to find that perfect wedding dress. And on Saturday, they had an appointment on that Saturday after Thanksgiving. Can you imagine how busy a dress shop is on Saturday after Thanksgiving? While it seemed that so many things were going great for Chrysalis, one thing did not. On Thanksgiving night, after a household of relatives had left to go home, Chrysalis's father, Jack, was rushed by ambulance to the hospital. Jack was a 65-year-old girls, high school girls basketball coach. And he had been diagnosed with melanoma cancer just 2 months earlier in September. And due to her father's illness, she decided that she wouldn't go to that appointment that day. And she would have to cancel her trip to the bridal salon of San Antonio. Her father, Jack, heard about this and he wouldn't have any of it. Jack wouldn't have any of it. He insisted that she and all of her entourage get over to that bridal shop. But can you imagine going and looking for a wedding dress knowing that your father is just shortly away from his own death? It's bittersweet, isn't it? Chrysalis, with her mother and her future mother-in-law, along with her sisters, they went to that bridal shop just as Jack wanted. They got there and they started trying on dress after dress. And the lady that owned the shop, Amy Wells was her name, she noticed that the women were a little more reserved than normal when young girls come in trying on wedding dresses. And maybe she just thought that the family was a bit more subdued than other families. She assumed that they were quiet. Amy, the shop owner, helped Chrysalis find the perfect dress after trying on about 10 or 11 or so. And it was an ivory duchess silk and satin dress. Everyone agreed that it was absolutely perfect. Chrysalis even said it made her look like a princess. It's what her daddy referred to her very often. But Chrysalis told Amy that day that she couldn't buy the gown right then and there. And that's when Amy, for the first time, heard about Jack. Because the cancer that had so rapidly spread through his body, he wasn't able to see his daughter in that dress. And because of the medical bills and the hospital bills, the family felt like it was best then to hold on to their money. Buying that dress would have to wait. And it appeared that Jack would die without seeing his daughter in a wedding dress. Amy, the owner of that shop, was a wonderful woman. She was a woman of great faith, profound faith in God. She felt in her spirit that Amy had to take that dress. And she said, take this gown and you take this veil and you go to the hospital right now and you let your daddy see you in that wedding dress. Please do it. And it was then that Chrysalis just fell in Amy's arms weeping. She called in her mother, Madeline. Madeline came into the room along with the other ladies that were there, and they were all crying together. Amy packed that dress, and she hugged Chrysalis and told her to get on to the hospital. Get this, church family. Get this. No credit card was taken. No deposit was put down. Amy, the shop owner, didn't even know Chrysalis's last name. Didn't know her address, didn't ask for it, and she didn't ask for a telephone number either. Chrysalis remembers asking Amy as she went out the door, what if we get the dress dirty? To which Amy replied, it's just a piece of fabric. Amy insisted that they go to the hospital right then and let Jack see his princess. Chrysalis, she didn't have to be told twice. Amy recalls about that moment, quote, I knew it was fine. There was no doubt in my mind to do this. God was talking to me. 3 hours later, after arranging with the brother to show up at the hospital room with a video camera, they were at the hospital where Jack was. And behind the suite's sliding doors there in Jack's room, Chrysalis put on that dress and she put on that veil. And her family woke Jack up. And then they pulled the suite doors open. And there stood Chrysalis, engulfed in a dropped waist, poofed dress with 15 yards of layered, billowing silk. And